Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God. Good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of Contending for the Faith with yours truly, Moses Henry Jones. Well, my brothers and sisters, we are in studio again to take apart Jensen Franklin's idiotic sermon, Jezebel's Children. It's a sermon that he preached back in July of 2019. It's a sermon that I recently came across. And as soon as I heard it, I said I got to do a series on it because, again, it affords ample proof that the man who leads the Free Chapel Campus churches, which are seven in number, is a super-duper moron. Well, my brothers and sisters, I have made an open-ended invitation to Mr. Jensen Franklin to call the show. But he is playing not chicken, but ostrich. The man keeps sticking his head in the sand and his fanny up in the air. But the number here, in case Jensen Franklin has a staff member, an associate pastor, a colleague, a bosom buddy, somebody who wants to come to his defense, someone who would dare to call the show, because, to call this show, you better have a spine. To call this show, you better be prepared to go mano a mano with Moses Henry Jones, because I'm just gonna lay the wood on you. The number here is area code 516-418-5978. Again, 516-418-5978. If there's anyone out there in Jensen Franklin's world who wants to call the broadcast, I would encourage you to do so. Well, my brothers and sisters, this is part number 17. That's right. We've done this today, with today's show, we would have done 17 broadcasts on this dopey moronic sermon. And you know that this series comes with a series of outlines. So if you want the outlines, they're yours free of charge. All you have to do is send me an email at freechurchbooks@gmail.com, freechurchbooks@gmail.com. It's the same email outline that you use when you are requesting any of the free books that I'm offering. For example, you can have Spirit of Python Dunce, or Spirit of Python Ignoramus, or Spirit of Python Retard. You can have all three books. You can have one of the books. Whatever you want, you can have them by simply emailing me, again, at freechurchbooks@gmail.com. freechurchbooks@gmail.com. Now, you're not going to get any of Justin Franklin's books for free. They're full of error. They're full of heresy. They're full of falsehood. But you're going to have to pay a pretty penny to get one of Jensen Franklin's books. Well, my books, my dear brothers and sisters, which take apart, which show you why Jensen Franklin is such a dangerous teacher, my books are free of charge. Again, freechurchbooks@gmail.com. You can start out by reading Spirit of Python Dunce, which is volume 1 in the trilogy, followed by Spirit of Python Ignoramus, volume 2, and then Spirit of Python Retard, volume 3. Request them, and you're going to be blessed when you read them. Well, we're looking at outline on page number 54. The outline begins on page number 54. The heading is in brown. This is broadcast number 233, broadcast 233, and this is part number 17, and today's broadcast date is January the 21st, 2020. January 21st, 2020. If you have all that information, if you have a brown heading, if you have broadcast number 233, part 17, with the broadcast date January 21st, 2020, and you're looking at page number 54, you have the correct outline. You have the correct outline. Now, today's broadcast will do away with this fourth pillar. I only needed two broadcasts to do away with pillar number 3, and I'm only going to need two broadcasts to deal with pillar number 4, and then with pillar number 5, which is the last pillar that we are taking apart, I'm going to have three broadcasts for that. So in total, we'll have 21 shows devoted to the sermon. I don't need to do any more than that because I'm not dissecting that whole sermon. I'm not going to give you one hour of analysis. I'm not going to listen to his sermon that runs 1 hour long and analyze that. I'm just giving you 15 minutes of analysis. I'm just listening to the first 15 minutes because that's all it takes. That's all it takes to show you what a moron this guy is. I don't need to dissect all 60 minutes. I can obliterate this thing just by listening to the first 15 minutes. That's all, 15 minutes, no mas. All right, so now, we're looking at faulty interpretation, pillar number 4. I told you, I've made this point again and again, that Jensen Franklin's sermon, Jezebel's Children, stands upon 5 pillars of interpretation, which I have concluded when I listened to the first 15 minutes that they're all faulty. They're all full of error. Well, faulty interpretation, pillar number 4, goes something like this. Jensen Franklin claims that the malevolent spirit of Jezebel, because he claims that when she died, she became a demon. She became a fallen angel. She became a wicked spirit. So he claims that this malevolent spirit that today is called Jezebel is giving birth to infant demons called her children. Well, when we looked at this yesterday, I showed you that she's a woman, she's not a demoness, and number 2, that her children are not baby demons, but they're actually her followers. That was yesterday's show. So this woman that Jensen Franklin claims is a demon, it's not really a demon but a woman, that was proven yesterday. And he claims that the reference that Jesus makes to a group of people or an entity called her children, Jensen Franklin claims these are demons, and I showed you yesterday that these are not demons, but these are actually the followers of this false prophetess. So she's not a demoness, and they're not baby demons. She's actually a false prophetess who has a large following of gullible people. It's pretty much like saying, look, it's pretty much like someone saying Jensen Franklin is an evil spirit and that he's giving birth to baby demons. And my answer would be no, Jensen Franklin is just a dim-witted man, just a moron of a man who has a bunch of followers, gullible followers at that, who assemble in 7 free chapel campus churches. That's it. That's it. Jensen Franklin is not an evil spirit, and his children are not baby demons. Jensen Franklin is actually a dim-witted, moronic preacher, and his followers are moronic followers, imbecilic followers, people who don't open up the Bible, people who say amen to every stupid thing that comes out of this man's mouth. That's basically the argument that I'm making. Franklin claims that Jezebel is an evil spirit and that she's having baby demons. And I'm saying, no, Jezebel was an actual woman whom Jesus calls a false prophet. And her children are not baby demons, but they are actually silly people who believed everything that came out of Jezebel's mouth. That's it. Now, in this second part of this fourth pillar, Jensen Franklin claims that we have to kill these baby demons. He says, you got to kill them. That's what Jensen Franklin says. He says, you better kill them. You better kill these baby demons. Baby demons that we didn't even know we were entertaining. I didn't know I was entertaining them. I didn't know I was feeding them. I didn't know I was sheltering them. I didn't know that I had some dependents that I wasn't claiming on my tax returns. So here is Jensen Franklin. I want you to listen to him. Again, he's going to make this is the claim. This is pillar number 4. Pillar number 4 is that Jezebel is not really a woman, but an evil spirit. That this evil spirit called Jezebel has children, but that these children are not followers, but they're actually baby demons. And then dealing today is he wants us, Jensen Franklin wants us, to kill these baby demons. We must go on a rampage and kill these baby demons. That's what Jensen Franklin wants us to do. Listen to the sermon. We're starting at the 4-minute, 6-second mark. And again, sorry that I have to do this to you each and every show, but we have to play the audio because I want you to see that I'm not making this stuff up. I'm not making it up. This comes straight out of the horse's, or in this case, the jackass's mouth.
I want you to look with me today in Revelation chapter 2. And I'm going to begin reading with verse 17. He who has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. I don't have time to read that. Verse 18. And the angel of the church in Thyatira write these things. Says, who's saying this? The Son of God. Who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, and faith. Your patience as for your works. The last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel. I want all the women to relax because this is not that kind of a sermon. But I don't, because you allow that woman Jezebel, which is a reference to a spirit, really, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Listen to this. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And then I want you to really focus in on this. Verse 23. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches, notice this now, the minds and hearts. Everybody say minds and hearts. And I will give to each of you according to your works. Verse 26, he who overcomes, overcomes what? The spirit that he just described. He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He'll rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like potter's clay, like potter's vessels. What's beautiful about this is he said, in the end, I'm going to give authority to people who have been broken vessels. I'm going to give broken vessels power and authority to rule in mighty ways. I want to talk to you about something very different today that God laid on my heart that I believe is a word very much in season for our lives. I'm preaching today on Jezebel's children. We've all probably heard people refer to Jezebel, but I want to talk about that 23rd verse where he makes reference to Jezebel's children. And I believe the Lord is going to speak to us today. The first three chapters of the book of Revelation describe seven churches. And it is a picture and it gives the characteristics of what the end time church is going to be like. Seven stages of Christianity, seven prophetic churches. In most of those churches, there's things that Jesus himself compliments, and there's things that he confronts and combats. And there are certain characteristics of those churches. For example, the Laodicea church had the characteristic of being lukewarm. They were lukewarm. They were not hot. They were not cold. They were just lukewarm. And then the church of Philadelphia is one of the seven that he names, and it was a loving church. And Jesus complimented them and spoke to John and said, there will be the love of God is needed in every church like Philadelphia, the church of Philadelphia has. But it was according to the seven personalities and characteristics working through the seven churches. Lean in, I promise this is going to hit you right where you're living. He said, now, in the church of Thyatira, there is something that you have done right, but then he shifts the focus and he says, but I have something against you, because you're allowing Jezebel to seduce and bring sexual immorality into the church and into people's lives. Jezebel was a reference that goes all the way back to 1 Kings 18 and 19. She was a woman who married Ahab, and she was exceedingly wicked and immoral. And even though she had been dead for over 1,500 years, maybe up to 1,800 years, she had been dead, her spirit was very much alive in a new generation. And notice what he said. He said she had children. Every generation, the spirit of Jezebel will produce children. And these spirits, if you entertain them, if you shelter them, if you feed them, they will grow up. And that's why he said in the 23rd verse, her children have to die. You cannot, notice what he tied them to. You cannot allow them to dominate your mind. Did you catch it? They're after the reins of your mind and your heart to turn you away from God. And they come as small things, and if you feed them, shelter them, feed lust, shelter the characteristics that I'm about to give you concerning Jezebel, they will take over your mind, take over your heart, and destroy your life in every way. Jezebel has children. He's warning us. Jesus himself is warning the end time church that the predominant spirit that will come to the end time church will be Jezebel, and she will have children alive even though she's been dead for 18 years. She will have spiritual children, demonic spirits alive that will attack families, marriages, homes, men, women, and it's going to manifest in their minds and attack their minds and their hearts. A spirit that had certain characteristics of this woman in the Old Testament who was married to King Ahab. Jezebel was known for sexual immorality, lust, but not just lust physically, but lust for power. And she will reproduce children, Jesus warned. Now let me give you some characteristics of Jezebel in the Old Testament that are very much alive in our society and culture today. Number one, the spirit of Jezebel is a spirit of manipulation. She manipulated and wanted to control Elijah, the prophet, and Ahab, the king. She absolutely even controlled like a puppet everything that she could control. And I'm saying she, but it is not about women. It's about, men can be heavily operating under a spirit of Jezebel. You see, neuter gender. It's not about the gender. It's about the spirit that is very much alive in our culture, and you're going to see it in just a moment. There's a difference between manipulation and motivation. When I motivate someone, or when someone motivates, it's for our good. But when manipulation is at work, it's for my good. I'm manipulating somebody not for our good, but for my good. And Jezebel tried to manipulate leadership for her good. It's a spirit of control. It's a spirit of manipulation. Secondly, the spirit of Jezebel is clearly seen in the Old Testament through this real woman who lived, and she was exceedingly wicked. She was a married woman with an unmarried spirit. And one of the manifestations of the spirit of Jezebel is when you're married and you have a ceremony, but you have an unmarried spirit. And a lot of people don't realize that they're operating under a spirit of Jezebel, but one of its manifestations is even for married people, when you're married, but you have an unmarried spirit. I don't have to keep my marriage vows. I don't have to keep my mind clean and my heart clean. Many people today are being affected by the spirit of Jezebel that is married. They're married. It's a lustful spirit. They have an unmarried spirit. It's a lustful spirit. It's an unclean spirit. It's an immoral spirit. He even goes on to say, I gave her a space to repent of her sexual immorality, and she would not. And notice what he said, thirdly, about the manifestation of this spirit. She has children. Why does he say her children have to die? Because you have to kill them when they're young. You have to stop this spirit from operating in your life in embryo stage. Because if you let it grow and you feed it and shelter it and take it in, it will destroy and captivate your mind and your heart and turn you away from everything good in your life. Don't let
the children mature spiritually that she's preaching about, the spirit of manipulation, the spirit that that does not respect authority, but it attacks authority and manipulates, the spirit that is married but has an unmarried spirit. It's unfaithful. It doesn't keep covenant. And she had children, and he said, you have to understand that you have to stop it. Don't let it grow in your life. Don't feed it. If you feed it, they grow. In recognizing these characters.
Now, you have to admit, the poor guy is, he is hanging out with Rod Sterling. And if you don't know who Rod Sterling is, let me give you a little, let me take you back through memory lane.
You're traveling through another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of imagination. Your next stop, the Twilight Zone.
Well, that's where Jensen Franklin is. That's where he lives. That's where he goes Saturday night to get sermon outlines. He goes to the Twilight Zone. All right, now let's look at our outline. Let's again, I played 15 minutes. I went a little longer than normal because I wanted you to hear how you and I are supposed to kill these baby demons. Don't feed them. Don't shelter them. Don't do it, because they're going to wreak havoc in your life. Jezebel is a spirit, not a woman. She's a spirit. And she's having baby demons. And you better kill them off. Listen, you better kill them off. If you don't kill them, they'll kill you. Okay. All right. And here's the thing. If you fail to kill them, they grow into adulthood. They become full-grown demons. All right, so let's look at the elemental theology tree. We want to look at anthropology and angelology. I want to take you back to the doctrine of man. Now, I want to show you something about the doctrine of man, okay? And this is why this poor guy is clueless. Mr. Franklin is clueless. He should have stayed in Bible college. I don't know if it would have helped him. I don't know. I don't know if anyone who's retarded, if they go to Bible college, I don't know if it's going to help him. But he should have stayed in. He would have been better off. All right. Now, in looking at the doctrine of man, we know that men die. Men die. We know that men die. How do we know this? Well, the Bible tells us that men die. Man, as a result of Adam and Eve's sin, is born spiritually dead. We know that. We have Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. We know we have Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. We have Romans 5:12. We have Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. We have Hebrews 9:27. We have Revelation 20, verses 14 through 15. And again, if you go back to Genesis chapter 4, verse 8, John 8:44, and 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 12, we know that these scriptures, in some instances, talk about an individual being spiritually dead and other people being physically dead. Some people, remember we talked about the first stage of man? In the first stage of man, man is above ground. Man who is above ground is born into a life of sin. Because man is spiritually dead, he is separated from God. That's why he needs to be born again. He needs to be born of the Spirit. Because all men who are born naturally from a man and a woman are born spiritually dead. You may be physically alive, but you are spiritually dead. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, don't you know that you have to be born again, Nicodemus? Because you were born from a father and a mother, but Nicodemus, when you were born spiritually dead. Now Nicodemus is alive and he's talking to Jesus, and but he didn't understand that he was spiritually dead. And that's because Adam and Eve imputed the sin nature, they passed on to us the sin nature. So those who are spiritually dead, as it says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die. So you those who are spiritually dead are appointed to die physically. So men are spiritually dead and physically die. Now, here you have A, spiritual death. What is spiritual death? Spiritual death is living an entire life spiritually separated from God. Because again, death is always about separation. The key word in death is separation. So what is spiritual death? It is to live an entire life, whether you live to be 50, whether you live to be 60, whether you live to be 70, 80, 90, 100. To be spiritually dead is to live an entire life spiritually separated from God. Those who die spiritually dead, right, enter upon physical death. What is physical death? Physical death is the separation of a man's soul, body, and spirit, because man is tripart. All men have a soul, all men have a spirit, all men have a body. And then those who die physically, spiritually dead, because you have to die both. You have to physically die, but you physically die without receiving Christ as Lord and Savior, which means you were spiritually dead. Then you enter upon your second death, which is man's eternal separation from God. Okay, so these are the three deaths of man. These are the three. You have spiritual death, which you are born spiritually dead. You come out of your mother's womb spiritually dead. Then you grow up, you become an adult, you live your life, and at the end of your life, you experience physical death. If you happen to experience physical death without being born again, then you enter into eternity, and you enter into the second death, which is eternal separation from God. Please note that death means some form of separation. Death, whether spiritual, physical, or the second death, speaks of some form of separation. And there you have all the scriptures, and we don't need to go all over this. I'm just reminding you of what we already covered. I'm reminding you, because we covered this at length. We covered this in previous broadcasts. Okay, so now, Jensen Franklin claims that Jezebel, the spirit, is having baby demons. Now, we know that demons don't have babies. We know that. We covered it. But let's just play along. Let's play along with this fool. Let's play along with this jughead. Let's just say, okay, Mr. Blockhead said that female demons are having baby demons. Okay, so let's follow along. So then what's a demon? Ask yourself, what is a demon? A demon comes from the angel branch. Not the human branch, not the anthropology branch, but a demon is what? A fallen angel. Okay, biblically speaking. Not Twilight Zone speaking, but biblically speaking, a demon is another word for a fallen angel or a wicked spirit. Okay, so now, we turn to Dr. John Gill, the noted theologian of the 18th century. And speaking of angels, Dr. John Gill noted, once more, being incorporeal, okay, incorporeal means they don't have a body. Angels don't have a body, and immaterial, which means they're invisible. Angels don't have a body like human beings, and they are immaterial. They are invisible. Did you circle that? when something's incorporeal, it means it doesn't have substance. You cannot handle it. Remember when Jesus visited his disciples after his resurrection and they thought it was a ghost, and he says, no, touch me, handle me. Spirits don't have bodies. I have a body. Look at my nail prints. Thomas, put your finger in the holes. And notice, Thomas, I have a body. Right? Okay. So now, angels and demons don't have bodies. They're incorporeal. And they are immaterial. They're not made of matter. Since they are immaterial, you can't see them. They are spirits. They are ministering spirits. They only manifest when God gives them permission to manifest. Demons manifest themselves when they enter into bodies. That's how they manifest themselves. But God has given his angels permission to manifest themselves, and when they do, they look human. But they're not human. They're spirits. Okay. Now, once more, says Dr. Gill, being incorporeal without bodies and immaterial, which means you can't see them, they're invisible, they are immortal, which means they can't be killed off. You can't kill an angel and you can't kill a demon. There's no way. They are immortal. All right. Those are key points. Okay. He goes on to say, they do not consist of parts. What does that mean? Look at the diagram on top. Notice, man is what? Tripart. Man has a soul, man has a spirit, man has a body. The only thing angel has is a spirit. So, since they do not consist of parts, they just have one part. They don't have parts. They have one part. Since they do not consist of parts of matter, capable of being disunited or dissolved like you. God said to Adam, in the day that you sin, you shall die, from dust you are, from dust you were made, and from dust you shall return. Listen, my brothers and sisters, angels don't have matter of being, they don't disintegrate like human beings do. They don't dissolve. And hence the saints in the resurrection will be like the angels in this respect, that they neither can die anymore. That's Luke 20, verse 36. What did Jesus say of the angels? He says angels don't die. Angels / demons don't die. They don't die like human beings. Angels don't disintegrate. You can't get rid of an angel. Once God made them, they exist forever. Okay, that's important that you understand this. Okay. Now, let's continue with Dr. Gill. He goes on to say, God, who only has immortality originally, which means what? God never had a beginning. God existed in eternity past, and he shall exist in eternity future. The difference between God and us is God existed in eternity past and man did not. I did not exist in eternity past. You did not exist in eternity past. Michael the archangel did not exist in eternity past, nor did Lucifer, Satan, exist in eternity past. Men and angels have a beginning. So while men and angels do not have an eternity past, we do have an eternity future. Because God has made our souls and spirit immortal. Okay? All right. So God, who only has immortality originally and of himself, has conferred immortality on the angelic spirits. And though he can annihilate them, he will not. For even evil spirits that have rebelled against him, though they die a moral and eternal death, and I'm going to explain that, yet their beings, their substances, continue and perish not. Everlasting fire, eternal punishment is prepared for the devil and his angels. This is from Dr. Gill's great book, A Complete Body of Doctrinal and Practical Divinity. It's a massive book. which was part of my doctoral studies in theology. Okay, so now, we're talking about demons because Jensen Franklin has given you an assignment that you have to kill these demons. Well, someone needs to tell Mr. Franklin no one can kill a demon. No one. Why? Because God has made them immortal. That's right. Demons don't die. They don't die. First of all, demons don't have a body. So they don't have anything that disintegrates. They don't have anything that comes apart like we do. We die physically. Our soul, our spirit, and our bodies become disunited. They become separated. Angels and demons don't have a body that dies. So how is it that demons die? When we say that demons are dead, Dr. Gill put it beautifully. He said demons are morally dead. Okay, let's explain. Demons are morally dead, morally, not physically, not spiritually, but demons are morally dead. What does that mean when Dr. Gill says demons are morally dead? As a result of leaving their first estate or their original state of holiness and obedience. Again, speaking of angels, Dr. John Gill noted, nor were they, angels, created immutably holy. But so as they were capable of sinning, and some did, right? Who's the only one who's immutably holy? Who's the only one who never changes? God. God says in Malachi chapter 3, 6, he says, because I change not, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, when God made the angels holy, he made them mutable. They had a free will. They can choose to remain holy or they can choose to sin. Some did. All right. Again, speaking of angels, Dr. John Gill noted, nor were they angels created immutably holy, but so as that they were capable of sinning, as some did, who being left to the mutability of their free will, they departed from their first estate, which was a state of holiness as well as happiness, and abode not in the truth of holiness, in that uprightness and righteousness in which they were created, and they are called the angels that sinned. And there are the scriptures that show that they left their first estate. So as spiritual beings, they are morally dead. They are morally bankrupt. That's what they are. They only want evil continually. That's why demons are called unclean spirits, because if they get a hold of you, they're going to have you living in the mud. They're going to have you thinking evil thoughts and wicked thoughts and perverted thoughts. They're going to have perverted words coming out of your mouth if you listen to them. Your whole life will be a perversion. So they left their first estate. What was that state? The state of holiness. They had free will. Stay holy or go wicked. They chose to go wicked. So as a result of going wicked, they could not come back to holiness. There is no redemption for them. There is no sacrifice for them. Jesus only died for man. He didn't die for angels. Therefore, when they crossed over and became morally dead, there was no redemption provided for them. Thus, they're morally dead. But morally dead doesn't mean you can kill them. It just means that when it comes to holiness, they don't want it, and they can't go back. All right. Point number two. Demons will suffer eternal death or eternal separation from God, which includes being tormented forever and ever. Matthew 25:41 and Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. Again, speaking of demons, John Gill noted, God, who only has immortality originally and of himself, has conferred immortality on the angelic spirits. Though he can annihilate them, he can, because he's God, he will not. For even evil spirits that have rebelled against him, though they die a moral and eternal death, yet their beings, their substances, continue and perish not. Everlasting fire, eternal punishment is prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, my brothers and sisters, listen. Nowhere in the Bible, nowhere. Now, Jensen Franklin, who went to the Twilight Zone and came back, told us we can kill baby demons. First of all, we know that demons can't produce demons. We know that. We know that mama demon and papa demon can't get together and have baby demons. That is a fairy tale, which, again, he was pushing. There are no such thing as baby demons. You cannot feed baby. What are you feeding them? What are you feeding them? He fails to tell us how we're feeding them. This is a complete fairy tale. Now he wants us to kill them. Well, first of all, I'm going to have to get a machine that tells me where they are because they're invisible. They hide. They hide. Demons hide. Angels hide. Listen, they are immaterial in nature. Angels of God only manifest themselves when God sends them on a rescue assignment, like when he sent them to rescue Lot, or when he sent an angel to rescue Peter, or when he sent an angel to rescue the Apostle Paul when he was on a ship in the midst of a storm. That's when angels, good angels, manifest themselves, or when an angel shows up to save Daniel in the lion's den, or when an angel showed up to bar the way of Balaam, and only the donkey saw the angel, but Balaam didn't see the angel. See, but wicked angels do not manifest themselves. They have to embody something, like Satan embodied the serpent, and we see a demonic possession, and we know that the demon, we can see the demon through the person and what the person is saying and how the person is acting and the supernatural strength that that demonic person has in their body. That's how we can tell that a demon is there. But they have no body. That's why they look to possess a body. They look to enter a body. They look to inhabit a body because they crave a body, but they have none. So now, we Christians are commanded to battle demons, but we're never told to kill them. If you read Ephesians chapter 6 or 2 Corinthians chapter 2 or James chapter 4 or 1 Peter chapter 5, at no time does any of the apostles or even Christ himself ever command us to kill any demon. You can't kill them. You can't. There's no way. Where would you begin? First of all, you're gonna need special 3D glasses, which I'm sure Rod Sterling has in the Twilight Zone. You're gonna need special 3D glasses to be able to see a demon. And then what weapon are you gonna use? You're gonna starve them? Because he says don't feed them. Are you gonna starve the baby demon? None of that makes any sense. Okay. So now notice, God could annihilate them. God could wipe them out and put them out of existence, but he doesn't. You know why? Because God has so designed that all the demons, including the devil, as the scriptures show, are to be cast into the lake of fire. And even there, like man, when man is tossed into the lake of fire, when that soul, body, and spirit that's reunited in that sinner is thrown into the lake of fire, even the fire does not consume the sinner's body. The same way the devil and his angels shall be tossed into the lake of fire. They shall be tormented but not destroyed. They will be punished but not annihilated. Okay. You can't kill a demon. You can't put a demon out of existence. This is nonsense. All right. Let's look at Matthew chapter 28, because there are two scriptures in Matthew 28. Why don't I go to Matthew 28? In Matthew 28, I'm sorry, Matthew 8, excuse me, Matthew 8, and we want to look at verse number 28. Matthew 8, 28. This is the guy who has the legion, right? All right, now go down with me to verse number 29. This guy has a legion. He has a little less than 6,000 demons in him. And behold, it says in verse 29, and behold, the demons cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Have you come to kill us before our time? No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. It says, have you come to torment us? Why? Because demons shall be tormented forever and ever and ever. They're going to be tortured forever. There's a difference between torturing someone and killing them. Notice, my brothers and sisters, notice what the demons said. The demons didn't say, have you come to kill us before our time? Demons can't be killed. They are so designed of God to be immortal. They shall suffer for all eternity in the lake of fire. That's the way God made them. That's the way God made the sinner man. The sinner man, just like you and me, we're born again. We're going to live forever in heaven. The sinner man is going to live forever in hell. We are immortal. God made us immortal. He has bestowed upon us immortality. That's why Paul says at the resurrection, that which is mortal shall put on immortality. Now, we don't have original immortality. We did not exist in eternity past. We had a point when we came into existence, but from the point that you came into existence, you're going to have an eternity future, whether it be in heaven or whether it be in hell. But nobody gets killed off. No one gets annihilated. To be annihilated is to be put out of existence. And God doesn't put no demon out of existence, much less is he going to require that you put a demon out of existence. Okay, now, some will say, well, look what it says in Mark chapter 1. Let's go to Mark 1. Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 23. Mark 1, 23. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? Destroy us. Well, brother, doesn't it mean destroy? Doesn't it mean to kill? No, you really have to go to the original Greek. And the Greek word apolomi means the eternal death or the second death. Have you come to bring us to our second death is what the demon is crying out. So you got to go to the original language. Because in English, it seems like, there is a possibility that you can kill a demon. There is a possibility that you can destroy or annihilate a demon or put a demon out of existence. But that's not what it says in the Greek. In the Greek, the word apolomi means second death, eternal death. Are you bringing us to the point where we will experience the second death, the lake of fire? That's what they're asking. That's what the demon is asking. So at no point in time, my dear brothers and sisters, can we kill a demon. Now, again, I want you to hear Jensen Franklin. He tells you, he swears up and down that you can kill a demon. I want you to hear this. This is just crazy stuff. Listen to this. This is important.
Calls herself a prophetess to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Listen to this. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And then I want you to really focus in on this. Verse 23. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches, notice this now, the minds and hearts. Everybody say minds and hearts. And I will give to each of you according to your works. Verse 26, he who overcomes what? The spirit that he just described. He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He'll rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like potter's clay, like potter's vessels. What's beautiful about this is he said, in the end, I'm going to give authority to people who have been broken vessels. I'm going to give broken vessels power and authority to rule in mighty ways. I want to talk to you about something very different today that God laid on my heart that I believe is a word very much in season for our lives. I'm preaching today on Jezebel's children. We've all probably heard people refer to Jezebel, but I want to talk about that 23rd verse where he makes reference to Jezebel's children. And I believe the Lord is going to speak to us today. Is something that you have done right, but then he shifts the focus and he says, but I have something against you because you're allowing Jezebel to seduce and bring sexual immorality into the church and into people's lives. Jezebel was a reference that goes all the way back to 1 Kings 18 and 19. She was a woman who married Ahab, and she was exceedingly wicked and immoral. And even though she had been dead for over 1,500 years, maybe up to 1,800 years, she had been dead, her spirit was very much alive in a new generation. And notice what he said. He said she had children. Every generation, the spirit of Jezebel will produce children. And these spirits, if you entertain them, if you shelter them, if you feed them, they will grow up. And that's why he said in the 23rd verse, her children have to die. You cannot, notice what he tied them to. You cannot allow them to dominate your mind. Did you catch it? They're after the reins of your mind and your heart to turn you away from God. And they come as small things, and if you feed them, shelter them, feed lust, shelter the characteristics that I'm about to give you concerning Jezebel, they will take over your mind, take over your heart, and destroy your life in every way. Jezebel has children. He's warning us. Jesus himself is warning the end time church that the predominant spirit that will come to the end time church will be Jezebel, and she will have children alive even though she's been dead for 18 years. She will have spiritual children, demonic spirits alive that will attack families, marriages, homes, men, women, and it's going to manifest in their minds and attack their minds and their hearts. A spirit that had certain characteristics of this woman in the Old Testament who was married to King Ahab. Jezebel was known for sexual immorality, lust, but not just lust physically, but lust for power. And she will reproduce children, Jesus warned. Now, let me give you some characteristics of Jezebel in the Old Testament that are very much alive in our society. I'm saying she, but it is not about women. It's about, it could be, men can be heavily operating under a spirit of Jezebel. It's a neuter gender. It's not about the gender, it's about the spirit that is very much alive in our culture, and you're going to see it in just a moment. There's a difference between manipulation and motivation. When I motivate someone, or when someone motivates, it's for our good. But when manipulation is at work, it's for my good. I'm manipulating somebody not for our good, but for my good. And Jezebel tried to manipulate leadership for her good. It's a spirit of control. It's a spirit of manipulation.
Secondly, the spirit of Jezebel is clearly seen in the Old Testament through this real woman who lived, and she was exceedingly wicked. She was a married woman with an unmarried spirit. And one of the manifestations of the spirit of Jezebel is when you're married and you have a ceremony, but you have an unmarried spirit. And a lot of people don't realize that they're operating under a spirit of Jezebel, but one of its manifestations is even for married people, when you're married, but you have an unmarried spirit. I don't have to keep my marriage vows. I don't have to keep my mind clean and my heart clean. Many people today are being affected by the spirit of Jezebel that is married. They're married. It's a lustful spirit. They have an unmarried spirit. It's a lustful spirit. It's an unclean spirit. It's an immoral spirit. He even goes on to say, I gave her a space to repent of her sexual immorality, and she would not. And notice what he said, thirdly, about the manifestation of this spirit. She has children. Why does he say her children have to die? Because you have to kill them when they're young. You have to stop this spirit from operating in your life in embryo stage. Because if you let it grow and you feed it and shelter it and take it in, it will destroy and captivate your mind and your heart and turn you away from everything good in your life. Don't let the children mature spiritually that she's preaching about. The spirit of manipulation, the spirit that does not respect authority, but it attacks authority and manipulates. The spirit that is married but has an unmarried spirit. It's unfaithful. It doesn't keep covenant. And she had children, and he said, you have to understand that you have to stop it. Don't let it grow in your life. Don't feed it. If you feed it, they grow.
Poor guy needs help. He needs a straitjacket. He needs doctors. He needs nurses. He needs a rubber room. He needs a counselor. Let's look at our conclusion here. Listen. Demons feared being tormented by Jesus, but not killed. They feared being tormented. Conclusion. The Bible. God's word is clear. Fallen angels / demons / unclean spirits don't die, nor can they be killed. God has destined demons to live forever in eternal torment. Thus, we must conclude yet again that Jensen Franklin is peddling major error. That's what the man is doing, saints. He's out of his mind. He wants you and me to kill demons. How? Where do you start? Where do you start? You would need special gargles. You're going to need special glasses to even see where they are. I don't even think the Ghostbusters have those glasses. I'm going to have to watch the latest Ghostbusters movie to see if they have gargles that they could see demons or ghosts. This is insane. This application, this sermonic application, what he would have you do, because, every time a pastor preaches a sermon, there's always an application. How do you apply the sermon to your life? Well, where do we even begin? Do you strangle them? Do you drown them? Do you shoot them? What do you do? What do you do? Do we set up a special army, a special battalion? For people to go out and start hunting Jezebel's children. And listen, this insanity can go on and on and on. But we're going to leave it there. In my next broadcast, I'm going to start with pillar number 5. This is so easy. Look. When you're dealing with a retard, it's just so easy to dismantle the teachings and the preachings of a retard. So we'll be back with pillar number 5, and that'll be 3 shows. And then by that time, we would have done 20 broadcasts, and then with broadcast number 21, I'll do a summary close. I'll present my final arguments to show you that Jensen Franklin is a man that no one should be listening to. Love you much, saints. God bless you. Be encouraged.